Hello there, and a very good morning to you. And you're very welcome indeed to the programme this morning. And we'll start with the Sunday Times. The story about John Delaney is over all of the papers. But of course, it was the Sunday Times that broke it last week. And it was the Sunday Times that went to court on the issue. So they lead with the headline, FAI chief John Delaney steps aside amid financial queries. Football body makes new role for old boss. And then they have other stories, Limerick Gardaí face corruption inquiry and meaty rise in Goodman's riches. Now, the Sunday Independent, negative equity to end next year. I'd say that'd be a relief to a lot of people who might, I know, are still in negative equity, but there you go. The ESRI says new wealth effect to lead to higher spending. Sunday Independent up at the top as well has ODCE gets complaint on FAI. And apparently there have been two complaints lodged with the Office of the Director of Corporate Enforcement. The Sunday Business Post leads with a kind of a scary headline for Irish. Draghi blasts government's repossession plan and warns mortgage rates could rise. The ECB chief says moral hazard must be prevented on house repossessions. A new bill has cabinet approval but now faces serious opposition. Fine Gael lobbied European allies to drop tax and EU army plans, and they just have a picture of John Delaney up the top there with Off the Ball is their headline. Now, just before I go to the rest of the Irish ones, I think it's worth noting that on the English papers or the British papers, the Telegraph is running with the headline, Cabinet told to oust May. That's on their front page. The Observer says, as Tory MPs plot May's downfall, her last allies battle for her survival. And in the Sunday Times, British Cabinet coup set to ditch May for emergency premier. And we will get to those later on because clearly they have consequences for us as well. Now, the Irish Mail on Sunday. I was abused by my uncle, Bishop Casey. I'd say this will come as quite a shock to an awful lot of people. She said she was raped as a child. The Mail on Sunday investigation reveals that allegations were made by two more women and have been settled, which I think will take, because when all the horrible stuff came out about child abuse, you would hear people say, well, poor old Bishop Casey was consenting adults, was the kind of view. So that's very shocking. But the man is dead and he can't defend his name. But on the other hand, they have gone through year by year, and the fact that settlements were made through the board. But we'll get to that later. Sunday World lead with a story about the Cookstown tragedy, I guess we'll call it. The Irish Sun, Delaney's shock of Gibraltar. I like that headline. And Spice Girl Mel B apparently had a relationship together. So you can all read that if you want a bit of celebrity gossip. Now, with us in studio this morning, Dave McWilliams, economist, broadcaster and author. Mary Whelan was a diplomat, most recently ambassador to Austria and the Netherlands. John O'Brien, Jean Monnet, professor of European integration in Maynooth. Jean Kelly, partner with Technology Law, LK Shields. And Owen Corrie, editor of Travel Extra. And you are all most welcome indeed to the programme. We're going to start off with the John Delaney story, and I'm going to go to the phones to talk to Eamon Dunphy and Alan Cawley, RTE soccer analyst. Good morning to you both. Eamon, what was your reaction to this story?
Yeah, well, it broke last Sunday, Marion, when the Sunday Times published a story about John Delaney giving the FAI a £100,000 loan in 2017.
Yeah.
Now, John Delaney tried to injunct the Sunday Times. He sought an injunction, a super injunction, in fact. Not only did he want them not to be able to publish the story, but he didn't want them to be able to say that he stopped them. Judge Anthony Barr refused the injunction. So it emerged last Sunday as a story that the chief executive of the FAI had lent the association £100,000 in 2017 and had that money had been repaid 12 months later. It raised the question.
I think it was 2 months later. I could be wrong on that. I think it was 2 months.
I think so. No, I think...
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was a year later, in 2018, that the money was, in fact, repaid. So, in itself, I'm not sure... Actually, you're right. It was June 2017. So it was lent for 3 or 4 months. It didn't seem such a big story. I think the big story was that Delaney was prepared to go to such lengths to have
to block it.
To block it. And from there, really, it's been rumbling along all week. It came to a head last night in Gibraltar when John Delaney resigned as chief executive. But he immediately stepped into a role that was created, apparently yesterday, of executive president of the FAI, which allows him to stay in situ, really, and to keep his job with UEFA, which is a powerful job and a lucrative job as well.
Which would matter to him, but would also matter to the FAI, presumably, because he's been kind of successful at handling all those kind of relationships. Alan Cawley, what was your reaction?
Yeah, like Eamon said, Marion, it's been a hugely dramatic few days, in particular, obviously, the fact that John has been there so long. He was obviously... came into the FAI and joined the Board of Management in 1999. He was a treasurer in 2001, and then he was appointed CEO in 2005. And since that time, obviously we're talking 14 years, he's had a major stranglehold on the association. And
well, he was supposed to be running it.
Yeah, well, you would expect him to have that, but it's been a very forceful one in terms of how he's been dealing with everything, obviously. And these stories have emerged last week. Obviously, the one, as Eamon mentioned, was the bridging loan, but there's been more stories that have come out today in the Sunday Times in terms of his rent, and that's coming off the back of the huge salary that he has earned throughout this period of time and the fact that they were also paying $36,000 of his rent. Also, so there's been a lot of discontent towards the organisation, particularly in recent years, I have found, largely off the back of the huge sum of money that I suppose John has been earning, and people asking the questions in terms of the development of the game here, where is it going? Obviously, the League of Ireland is the highest standard of football you can play it here. And if you look at the prize money that's on offer for teams involved in that, it's a paltry sum of money when you consider what the CEO has been earning.
We were interviewing Niall Quinn recently, and it was the first time I kind of fully got it how some of it works, not all of it, but that each one of those clubs pays 19,000 annually for affiliation, and they get 500,000 from schoolboys. So it's quite expensive to be affiliated there.
Absolutely, and if you look at the clubs over the years, like you're talking about the development of the game here, they've been basically just trying to survive. Now, that's not all down to the FAI. Obviously, the clubs have to take responsibility themselves, but as the governing body of the game here, you would expect them to be trying their best in terms of investment and trying to develop the game as best they can. And I suppose what people are looking at this morning is you look at the likes of those clubs who have been struggling and trying to get on. There was also a story back in 2016 coming off the back of the European money, that prize money that obviously Ireland received for qualification at the time, and they came out with a suggestion that they were going to give $5,000 to each and every club. There's 20 clubs obviously with the Premier Division and the First Division, and it was only St. Pat's and Derry City that stood up to them and says this is an absolute disgrace, that's all you're offering in terms of a grant towards the clubs to come up with a 5-year business plan. So there's been a lot of discontent, Marion.
Right.
As I said, this kind of, you see these stories emerging last week and today, and it's probably justified that discontent.
The To go back to you, Eamon, in some ways, 100,000 in the context of a multi-million annual budget, it seems like kind of loose change,
yeah,
you could say. Can you see how that might have arisen?
Well, it's difficult to see how it would have arisen, but it could have been as a result of Dennis O'Brien withdrawing his patronage, if you like, from the association. Over the years since 2008, Dennis O'Brien has given over 12.5 million to the FAI,
yeah,
to bring in Trapattoni,
I remember, yeah,
Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane, and to get the best management teams money can buy, really. And that was a very welcome contribution that Dennis O'Brien made to Irish soccer. That money was withdrawn, and when that was withdrawn, the bills still had to be paid. Dennis, Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill were still on big salaries. So it isn't inconceivable that the FAI had cash flow problems, but you would have thought they could have gone to their bank. They had 25 bank accounts with
them. It's a lot of bank accounts, isn't it? Or maybe not, and that works.
Really. They could have gone to, and said, look, can you lend us 100 grand? So there is a bit of mystery about that, some speculation about how John Delaney would be the one giving the money. I, to be honest, if you look at the big picture here, there isn't an awful lot of corruption and an awful lot of bad behaviour or chicanery that I can see.
Yeah.
What I see is a man who foolishly went looking for an injunction to stop the Sunday Times publishing a story that in itself is pretty harmless.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a wrong thing to do to lend somebody money, you know, to tide them over.
No, I mean, he could have said, okay, they had a cash flow problem, and as chief executive, you know, I stepped in and helped him out. So I think he probably jumped the gun, and the judge.
And now people will be all over the accounts and auditing like a rash.
Yeah. And
I think people were taken aback that his accommodation was paid for.
Yeah.
Now, people say that's unusual in that word, but I was just thinking of a lot of the companies coming into Ireland. I'd be surprised if they didn't give accommodation to some of their staff.
Yes, I mean, again, that's not particularly shocking. Given the money that was coming into the association, I don't think it is particularly shocking. The problem he has now is he has to answer to a Rochtus committee, because one very salient point is the FAI gets about 4 or 5 million a year from the government.
Yes.
And you've got to answer for that. So the Rochtus Committee on Sport are holding hearings, and also the Oireachtas Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport are holding hearings into the situation with the FAI.
Right.
And one of the problems that does exist there is it's very much a one-man band, and there are issues about corporate governance. The length of time people have been on the board, the lack of rotation around the board and other offices. So in those areas, I think the FAI and John Delaney will have questions to answer. But there isn't any great financial scandal that I can see in this story.
Right.
I think Mario,
yes,
what makes it more eye-catching is the sums of money you're talking about. And you may say that it's not unusual in terms of multinational companies maybe paying for accommodation and stuff.
Yeah.
But if your CEO is earning 360 grand a year and you're still paying his rent at 3 grand a month, and this was at a time, going back to August 2012, when he was asking staff to take pay cuts or face job losses, I think that's fairly eye-catching. When you look at it in the grand scheme of things. Also, as Eamon mentions, you look at the board of management, and when one of John Delaney's biggest decisions, his first big decision really when he took over, was not to renew Brian Kerr's contract. And I suppose the board of members that were on the committee at that time, there was 10 of them that oversaw that decision. You look at 13 years later, and 6 of those officials are still at the top table. So there is certainly kind of a lot of questions in terms of the governance and what's been going on. It's been a closed shop for a long time. You look at the AGMs as well, and it's been kind of farcical in terms of the lack of questioning and transparency that goes on at those. So there is questions certainly to be asked.
Right. They do say in Brisbane that he was a dinger for raising money, and that Aviva in Lansdowne Road will be paid off on time, where after the crash people said not a chance because people didn't buy the expensive tickets.
Is that to me, Marion?
Well, yes, to you, yeah.
I think, you know, Delaney is a guy with a vision. He has a vision for Irish soccer, and the Aviva is part of it. The problem with the project is the crash happened to coincide with this amazing new home for Irish soccer. There was nothing wrong with the vision. It's just the timing was off. The same with the Dennis O'Brien money. That's a lot of money, but it was well used. We brought the best coaches we could get. So he has had a vision. He has spread the gospel of the game around the country. There are things that he has done that have been good. Unfortunately, he didn't have a good relationship with the media. He was contemptuous of them and showed it. And as Alan has pointed out, and other people, the corporate governance of the association has been poor.
OK. Stay with me, if you would, I would say to both of you. Owen, how do you read this?
An empire was built by John Delaney, and he built it, as many politicians and sports people have, by getting their grassroots on side before he moved into the position. As Eamon says, contentious of the media, untouchable. What most fans harp on about, and they've chanted about this at matches, is his enormous salary, which, it has to be said, we are paying too much for the CEO of the FAI.
Well, he negotiated a contract. I mean, presumably he did it in a hard-nosed fashion.
And the credit has to be given that he, for the first time in the history of the FAI, turned it into a money-making organisation. The point Alan made is that the winners of the domestic league, the prize money they get is less than one third of his salary. If you take the salaries of the CEO of the GAA and the IRFU, two eminently successful sporting bodies, and add them together, they don't come to that. So while all of this success was being presented to the Irish fans, there was some international success as well, the Euros 2016, and the bringing of the finances into order, because the FAI historically was a receipts in a shoebox organisation, really right up to the history of when Eamon was started playing. You know, it was bookmakers running Drumcondra, and bookmakers running Shamrock Rovers, and scrap merchants running Drumcondra. It was always
with bookmakers and scrap merchants
passing the parcel round at the pub on Friday night to pay wages. That's where Irish soccer was. So this guy came with, as Eamon says, the vision. He brought them, he tapped into the huge money that's flushing through international soccer. That had changed, by the way, and he was in a position to do that and built this empire. And as it appeared, he was above reproach, he was above the chance of the fans. But by the way, on the salary thing, I don't think the Spanish Soccer Association or the Italian Soccer Association pay the same for their CEO. So he was riding this wave of his own success in tapping into international soccer. He brought the FAI from a situation of penury, shoebox stuff. And at some stage, it was all going to go horribly wrong for him. And when you regard yourself as above the normal laws of corporate governance, which he clearly did,
But sure, after the Genesis report, wasn't that when he brought in the new system and reduced the board and did all those things which they
Genesis
were asked.
Genesis would
to
make
do.
You cry. I mean, a major national soccer organisation, and not only that, but some of Genesis wasn't published for legal reasons. It was so critical of what had gone before.
Okay,
when
John,
you've gone from penury to this. This is, you know, he was the man with the halo, and this is what's largely caused this.
I think Eamon actually understates the seriousness of this. Mm. The allegations against the FAI go back a long way to the early 1990s with the ticket scandal around the 1990-1994 World Cup, Merrion Gate as it was christened, all the things that came out of Genesis in 2005. Remember also when Thierry Henry broke our hearts that night in Paris.
Could we ever forget?
But subsequently we found out that the FAI lobbied FIFA and succeeded in getting a payment of €5 million. It seems to have been completely irregular. FIFA then wrote it off. So there are deep and enduring questions here about governance.
He tried at the time. I'm hazy on the details. He tried at the time to get them to accept an extra team going through. And they kind of treated his request with derision. But if you opened your eyes, Thierry Henry didn't just do it once, he did it twice. And they completely ignored their own rules. So, I mean, John Delaney was going into bat for Irish soccer.
He was, but there is a link here between the FAI and the way they conduct their business and the way FIFA conducted its business under Sepp Blatter. And this is highly irregular patterns, very arbitrary forms of corporate governance.
Well, I mean, we've heard an awful lot about Sepp Blatter, which I presume is not going to go away, you know, because there was a report last week on a substantial sum of money being paid to the World Soccer Organization if the games went to Qatar. I wonder, was there any connection?
Marion,
yes?
Your contributor is dead right, and you said there that they treated it with derision. They were right to, because it was laughable that John Delaney was suggesting that we would become an extra team that time. We all know that Thierry Henry handled the ball, but that was never, ever going to happen. And the contribution of $5 million
at the time... Why is that? Why should that be impossible?
Because that's just the game of football, and that's what happens. Now,
No. Why couldn't there be an extra team?
Because there was never that. I don't think that has ever been the case, and it was never ever going
well,
to be.
Well, there can always be a first time.
Just on the back of a handball in a match. That's just something that happens in every game of football. Sometimes the rules may go with you, they go against you. They went against us massively that night. But we're in a time now with obviously with the video technology that would have been sorted out straight away had it been obviously around at the time, but it wasn't. But for him to suggest that we would become the 33rd team in that tournament was a great idea. I thought it was an absolute laughing stock.
Well, you guys are into it, so you can do the laughing, but I was doing the hoping. Eamon, to split the function now, which seems to be the plan.
Yeah.
Good or bad idea?
Well, it enables John Delaney to survive and to keep his job with UEFA, which is a powerful and well-paid job. And I think that he's moved seamlessly in a matter of 12 hours from being a former chief executive to being an executive president of the association. I think that the Office of Corporate Enforcement will have a question or two to ask about that. How did it happen? Who voted for it? How is it processed?
It is in some of the reports today that it was 2 days ago and there was a unanimous.
Good old John. He's in control. Well, let's see what happens. I'm sure it'll be questioned. And there needs to be change.
Okay. Last word on this to you, Jean.
I know less than nothing about soccer, and I know my family will be listening in to hear me express a view on something I know nothing about, but I do know something about corporate governance, and I think that's my focus on this. And I suppose the questions I would have if I was on the board of the FAI, which is very unlikely to ever happen, is, you know, how that interplay is going to work between the new CEO and this executive vice president.
You need to have it very clear.
Yeah, and what isn't clear from the FAI statement, although perhaps it's clear in the report which they commissioned on this, is, you know, whether the new executive vice president, Mr. Delaney, is going to be involved in the recruitment of the new CEO. There is a little throwaway line, maybe it's very anodyne, it just says that the new chief executive and the executive vice president are going to have to work very closely together in a collaborative manner.
And that, you know, could lead to me.
I think that's going to be interesting.
It's funny you talk about, Owen was talking about the shoebox approach to finance of the FAI. My first job was selling programmes in Lansdowne Road as a schoolboy, okay, at Irish International. And people who watched Irish International in the old days will remember they were played on a Wednesday afternoon because there was no floodlights and you get a half day to go and sell programmes. And this is when the Republic of Ireland weren't a bad side at all. This was in the post-Dunphy, early Chippy Brady days. And I do remember my only, maybe the alarm bells were ringing in my head as a kid, when the mode of delivery of the finance, so we would be given a rake of programmes and you'd stand outside and you'd sell them and you'd have like a cotton bag into which you'd throw all the swag, all the fivers and quids and the whole thing and tenors and the whole thing. And the bag was then delivered to the back door of Slattery's Boozer on Beggar's Bush, and that's how the finances were handled. And we were then given a tenner, the young fellas.
Tenner was
a huge amount, huge amount. We were given a tenner out of the bag. And the bag was then handed in to the hands of members of the FAI. And that's the way the accounts were kept.
Go ahead. Before I come to the match last night, Mary, I didn't go to you at all in this. Do you take a view?
Well, I do have a view. When my employer, the Government of Ireland, had a cash flow problem a few years ago, it cut my salary. I didn't ask me for a loan. I would have been happy to give them a loan and they could have paid me back. So I don't know if it's irregular, but it's unusual. It's a, you know. The second thought I have is I have a grandchild who plays soccer, and you look at all of these volunteers, all of these people playing out there, and you think, are they served by this scandal? When the back room and not the pitch becomes the story, an organisation has a big problem.
Yeah. OK, let me go to soccer now. Eamon, what did you think last night?
Well, it was very difficult circumstances. There was a gale force wind blowing across the pitch. It wasn't very conducive to football. Mick McCarthy said after the match that he hated match, but he loved the 3 points, and I think that's a fair summary. I think it was a good start, a win. And hopefully we win on Tuesday, and that's a good start.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, thank you both very much. That was Eamon Dunphy and Alan Cawley, and we'll take a break.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.